Sounds okay. We continue this morning with the lesson from Nehemiah. And if you did not listen to last week's message, I really, not because I preached it, but I really encourage you to go back and listen to it if you missed it. Last week it's online, Facebook or YouTube. And I encourage you because I have such a strong conviction that this is really a message for direction as we go into this new year. So last week is the foundation, was the beginning, and then we continue this week. So do go back and listen to it if you haven't yet. But we want to continue this morning. This is our theme for fast. It has been one of our themes and prayer points for fasting and prayer week, and also for us as we go into the new year. And so as we ended last week, we ended with the response of the people. Nehemiah had waited on the Lord. He had been so disturbed and concerned about the situation when he heard in Jerusalem that the walls were broken down and the gates were burnt, because that meant that the city would be in disgrace and the people would be in distress. They would ever be vulnerable to the attack of the enemy. So for those of us who, if you'll remember from last week, that speaks to our hearts, doesn't it? What God wants for us and what the enemy is trying to do against what God is doing and wants to have for us. And God wants us to be protected and not vulnerable to the attack of the enemy. And he gives us and speaks to us about how that might be. And we see it in picture form in the Old Testament in the book of Nehemiah. And so as Nehemiah waits in fasting and prayer, God puts his plan in Nehemiah's heart. And God makes a miraculous way for him. And he goes back to Jerusalem. He's never been there before. He surveys the city, and then he speaks to the people who will do the work, and he says, this is what God has put in my heart, this is what has happened, and their response is, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for the good work. Amen. Amen. What an encouraging scripture. What they had lived with for so long, even though it distressed them, they were no longer willing to live with, because they had an encouragement from the voice and from the heart of God to them, and so they strengthened their hands for the good work. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So they strengthened their hands because it was going to be work. The same thing is true for us. This past week of fasting and prayer, as God has spoken to us, what do we do now? And what have we done in fasting and prayer? We strengthen our hands for the good work, because the things that God has put in our heart to do and to change and to build will require something from us. That's one of the lessons we see in Nehemiah. In Nehemiah, we see this beautiful picture of cooperation between God and man and the opposition from the enemy. There's so much we can learn from this book, but we see here God and man joining together. And so they strengthen their hands for the good work, and it's good work because it's God's work. Whenever it's God's work, it's always good work, no matter what it is, no matter how big it is, no matter how little it is. When it's God's work, it's good work. And never feel that it's unimportant. Never feel, well, this is something, it doesn't matter very much. When it's from God, it's good work. Amen. So what they had lived with, they said they are now willing to do something about, and what had caused them distress for 100 years or more, they were now going to do something about. And that, I don't know about you, but that even spoke to me, even though I was the one that prepared the message throughout this week as I've been praying, because there are areas in my life that have bothered me, that have distressed me, that the enemy I've been vulnerable in, but I haven't rebuilt those areas, and so the enemy, he still has a way to get in and attack. And I think all of us would say that. And I praise the Lord for speaking to us and giving us a way forward. So in this lesson, here's this lesson for each one of us as well, that this where we've had a heaviness of heart or worry or stress or distress, where we have been vulnerable, we will no longer be vulnerable because we're going to strengthen our hands for the good work. And as when we wait upon the Lord, he gives us his plan, his strength for the situation, and we rise up and we start to build. And that's what has happened in this last week. Through fasting and prayer. Amen? So we're all familiar with the story. He speaks to them. They say, yes, let's rise up. Let's do the work. And we're going to see what happens. And let's see what the response is, because not only do the people of God say, yes, let's rise up and let's build, other people say something as well. But when Sanballat, if you can't pronounce it, don't worry about it. You pronounce it any way you want to. I doubt you'll ever meet another person named Sanballat or Sanballat, however you want to pronounce it. When Sanballat the Horonite, Tobiah the Ammonite official, and Geshem the Arab heard about this, they mocked us and they despised us. Nehemiah is an instruction manual in your Bible from the Word of God on how God moves us forward, how the enemy opposes, and how we overcome opposition. This is true for every area of our lives. This is true for every good plan that God puts in our hearts. This is true for anything that God says, we're going to work on this area. And you say, yes, God. And we put our hands to the good work. Here's an instruction manual for us this morning. What do we see here? They haven't even begun the work. They're still in the planning stage. And in the planning stage, already opposition begins to arise. Now, let me make a very timely application. Some of you this week had a really hard time in fasting and prayer. You were just getting started, and you really didn't get started. It was just hard. Opposition arose. Maybe you were extra busy in your work. Maybe you got really upset about something and just blew it right near the beginning of the week, and then you felt guilty and unworthy all week long because of something that happened. Or maybe on day two, you said, I can't stand it, and you had to have a candy bar. I don't know. The Lord hasn't told me any of these things. These seem like small things, but here's the point. These seem like small things, but these things that happen when they keep us from beginning, when they keep us from starting, it is enemy using flesh. It is the enemy stirring up opposition to keep you from the good work that God has for you. And so that's how we see it. And so we look at this, Sanballat, the Horonite, Tobiah, and Geshem. You'll see these names, these three guys, or Yahoos, or whatever you want to call them. You will see them throughout the book of Nehemiah. They are the unholy trinity, if you will, of enemies of God's people and God's work. And we'll come back to them again in just a minute. But what I want us to see is how these people work and how Nehemiah overcomes. Because as I said, Nehemiah is a primer for us. So encouraging, so encouraging. Who are these three guys, if you will? Who are these three men, Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem? These three men are governors of areas surrounding Judah. They have been given the leadership over these areas, although they're all under the rule of the Persian king. The Persian king has made them rulers in these other areas. And so when the people of God begin to rise up and prepare to build the wall, what happens? They rise up and oppose, because when the people of God begin to become strengthened and the walls are rebuilt, they will grow in power and influence. And when they grow in power and influence, the power and influence and the governorship and the areas of these other three will diminish, because Judah is rising up and Jerusalem is rising up. Now, before we go any further and make any other applications, that should be a lesson to us this morning. That should be a reminder to us this morning. Anytime you and I determine, God, I'm going to do your good work. God, I'm going to rebuild the walls. God, I'm going to set the gates again that have been broken. Rest assured that opposition will arise to the work of God. The Bible is so clear about this, because the Bible says the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence and the violent take it by force. It is, being a Christian is not a spectator sport. It's not a spectator sport. And when we begin to advance, when there are areas of our lives when we say, God, I'm not going to live this way any longer. I'm going to go on in you. We sang the very first song this morning, Higher Ground. You can be sure that opposition will arise to keep you from going to higher ground. Before you ever get started, Before you ever move on, you've determined to do this or you've determined to do that, and opposition will arise. And this is the lesson that we see in the book of Nehemiah. And what, even though we're going to be talking about enemy and opposition, I want us not to be discouraged, but to be encouraged this morning and to see what God leads his people to do in the face of opposition. No advance of God's kingdom in your own life personally, in your family, in our church, or in this city, or in any sphere, no advance of God's kingdom and purposes will ever go unopposed. Yeah? Ever. It will never go unopposed. The enemy will fight to keep what he has. Therefore, we must determine that we will fight to advance, and God is on our side. Or to put it in a better way, we are on God's side. And when we are aligned with his purposes, the opposition must fall before us. We were praying together this week in one of our Zoom prayer meetings, and I shared, I think it was in prayer, something that I had read that so encouraged me this week. And it's about the verse that says, "No weapon formed against us shall prosper." And the insight into it was, you know, we as Christians so often, a weapon forms against us and we think, oh! But the insight was, it doesn't say that no weapon shall form. It says, no weapon shall prosper against us. Praise the Lord. And that's what we see with Nehemiah. Alan Redpath was a British writer and author and evangelist. Wonderful, wonderful teachings and preachings from the last century. And as I was preparing, I came across this, and I was so encouraged by it. It sounds discouraging, but in fact, it's really encouraging. It gives us focus and direction. And he said, "There is no winning without warfare. There is no opportunity without opposition. There is no victory without vigilance. For whenever the people of God say, 'Let us arise and build,' Satan says, 'Let me arise and oppose.'" Amen? Amen. Now, we're not saying amen to Satan's words, but we're saying amen to what God has for us. And so when we look at the book of Nehemiah, when we look at what Nehemiah and the people of God did, what we see is this opposition. It's a perfect picture for us of what happens when opposition arises and how we overcome the opposition. These three guys, I don't know, I should have thought of a better name for them before I started this morning. They are the consistent enemies, and let's look at the full verse now. So these three, when they heard about it, no building has started yet, they mocked us and despised us and said, "What is this you're doing? Are you rebelling against the king?" Now, I want us to see something here this morning. There has been no battle yet. There has been no hand-to-hand combat yet. But what do we see? There's not even been any building yet. But they immediately, the opposition begins to, what does it say? To mock and despise. What is the purpose of mockery and despising? What does it do? Have you ever been on the receiving end of mocking words and despising words? All of us have. And mocking and despising words sometimes anger us or upset us, but the purpose of mockery and despising is to belittle and to make small and to make insignificant and to make us feel you're nothing. Who do you think you are? And that is the purpose of the enemy. Because you see, in this case, the work that was ahead of them to do, though they had strengthened their hands, was a big work. It wasn't a small thing to do. It was a big thing to do. So if before the work, they could be made to feel, what was I thinking? I can never do this. The walls have been broken down. The gates have been burnt for over 100 years. If that was their mindset going into it, they would never accomplish the work of God. They would never rebuild the walls. They would never reset the burnt gates. Now, brothers and sisters, again, here's a lesson for us. As you begin to move forward and as you begin to say, "God, I am going to do this," when you hear the voice of the enemy, and it may not even sound like the voice of the enemy to you. Do you know why it may not sound like the voice of the enemy to you? Because these three guys, Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem not so much, but at least the two of them. Up until this time, they were part of the crowd. Did you know that? Tobiah is a Jewish name. The name Tobiah is listed throughout the descendants of the Jews. Sanballat was a governor of Samaria. These two are related to the priestly families. They have been part of what's going on. They're part of the crowd. And then this opposition arises. And so sometimes when the enemy, when the opposition begins to arise, it may not even sound like the enemy to you. It may sound like your own voice. What was I thinking? I can't do this. I'm not qualified to do this. You think Nehemiah was qualified to rebuild the wall? He had no engineering degree. He had no building experience. I doubt he had ever screwed in something or put in a light bulb or whatever they did in those days. He was cupbearer to the king. What did he have that would qualify him to build the wall, to rebuild the wall? But it came from God. So our qualifications and our calling, brothers and sisters, come from the hand and the mouth and the voice of God. Therefore, when you hear something that tries to make you small in the face of what you have set your heart to do and determined to do, be assured, whatever the voice sounds like, it's the voice of Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem. It's the voice of the enemy. It's the voice of the enemy. And when we look further, look also at what they say. What is this you're doing? Are you rebelling against the king? Look with me. Who is their highest authority? Their highest authority is the king in Persia, right? Because they're the ones, they've received authority from this king. But what they don't see and what they don't recognize is that the highest authority of Nehemiah and the people of God is God Most High, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, El Elyon, God Almighty. And brothers and sisters, as we look at this, when you look at this, what is this you're doing? Are you rebelling against the king? You stand and you straighten your spine and you say, I am a servant of the Lord. I am under the authority of God Most High. Amen. Amen. So when we look at these enemies and then we see, we're going to look at how Nehemiah responds. And Nehemiah replies, I replied, aha, the God of heaven will help us succeed. Do you know what that, here we go. The God of heaven will help us succeed. Do you know what that means? When I see that, here come the lying voices. It was a false accusation, by the way, because the king had given the green light for the rebuilding of the wall. But what do we take from this as we look at how Nehemiah responded? Don't let the lies keep speaking in your mind and to your ears and to your thoughts. Respond with truth. Respond with truth. And Nehemiah says, the God of heaven will help us succeed. We, his servants, will start rebuilding this wall. Amen. Amen. So when the discouragement comes, when you begin to feel smaller and smaller and smaller, in the face of the plan that God has put in your heart, stand up and say, we will succeed. God, the God of heaven, will help us succeed. We, his servants. And then he says, but you have no share, legal right, or historic claim in Jerusalem. I was looking at that. I read through that several times, and I always kind of passed over that, and I thought, why does he say that at that point? And it wasn't until this week that I started thinking about it, digging into it, and praying about it. And what we see is, when we look at Sanballat and Tobiah, Sanballat is a Horonite, Tobiah is an Ammonite. These two tribes were part of the Canaanite tribes who were in the land of promise that were driven out hundreds of years earlier, under God's direction, under God's authority. And now they were coming back in. And Nehemiah, inspired by the Holy Spirit, says to them, for them, and for us today, you have no share, legal right, or historic claim in Jerusalem. Now, brothers and sisters, this morning, what has God put in your heart? What has God said to you? What has God spoken to you about your family or your friends or your work or your own life? If you are a child of God, and you are aligned with him. You are under the blood of the Lamb, and the enemy has no share, no legal right, no historic claim in Jerusalem. If you are a child of God, he has been kicked out. And when he comes back to you and points a finger and tries to say, yeah, but I remember what you were. Remember you this. Remember you that. As he so often does, that is when you say, I'm under the blood of the Lamb. And as far as the east is from the west, so far are my sins separated from me and cast into the sea and will be remembered no more. The enemy has no right to your life. And as you stand before the Lord, you can claim and begin to take the ground. The enemy, if you are a child of God, he has no right to your family, though there may be people in your families that are not yet walking with the Lord. The Bible says he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The biblical pattern that we see in the book of Acts is that one person is saved, and then the family is saved. That is God's plan for you. That is God's plan for your family. That is God's plan for your group. This is God's plan. And you stand on the promises of God and take the ground that the enemy is trying to claim and say, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine. But in the Lord, we learn from Nehemiah. Amen? Amen. In other areas of our lives as well. Brothers and sisters, this is true in our health and in our finances and in our well-being, our mental well-being, our emotional well-being as well. It is not that there won't be a struggle. It is not that the Lord will somehow wave a magic wand. We love it when he does, God's magic, if you will, don't we? We love it when the answer comes immediately and suddenly and miraculously. And sometimes God does this in our life, in our lives. He does this. But so often, more often, as we see in Nehemiah, we stand, there's opposition, we take ground, there's opposition, and we keep taking ground. And so often it is a process. So I want to encourage you this morning. I feel so convinced of this, so strongly about this, that this message and that this encouragement and this lesson is for us as we go through into this year. Amen. And so we keep, what does he do? He keeps his focus, and you and I have to keep our focus as well. He keeps his focus on the work. If the enemy can stop you from the work, that's what he wants to do. Nehemiah keeps his focus, and you and I have to keep our focus as well in this new year. Whatever fighting you have to do, whatever opposition arises, keep your focus on God and on his work, and rebuild the wall and reset the gates that are burnt. Amen? Amen. How are we going to win this battle? You already know this. This is a passage we know so very well from Ephesians chapter 6. And we'll come back to this a little bit later this morning, but I do encourage you, go back and read that whole thing in this whole passage. What does Paul say? For we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies. We're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies. We're not. And therefore, because the fight is not flesh and blood, though we sometimes look at people and feel that's the fight, right? But the enemy uses people at times. The enemy uses flesh at times. And we get our dander up, if you will. And we just want to smack somebody sometimes. And we get angry and we this and that. And I know we go through all of these things. All of us do. But brothers and sisters, our battle will be won not through natural means, because the battle is not a natural battle. When we are children of the Lord, the battle will be fought, and the battle will be won through spiritual means, because our enemies are also in that realm. Our enemies are not flesh and blood, therefore our weapons cannot be flesh and blood as well. And the purpose is not to fight, the purpose is to fight and make progress, right? And to rebuild and to move forward. Amen. Amen. And so that's all in chapter 2. And then in chapter 3, which we're not even going to look at this morning, chapter 3 is the whole wonderful list of the rebuilding of the wall and everything that people did. And another time we'll come back to that, but not this morning. So many people skip over chapter 3 because it seems so many names that we cannot remember, and it's the same. They rebuilt the wall in front of their house. They did this, they did that. All chapter 3 is a glorious chapter of Nehemiah. In fact, it's one of the high points in Nehemiah. It's a wonderful, wonderful chapter. So they rebuild, And let's see what happens, because we're looking at, this is a primer for us in opposition and overcoming opposition. Well, here we go. We begin to see some names again. Sanballat was, this is chapter 4, so if in your Bible, if you want to turn to chapter 4, until we get to the end, everything else will be from chapter 4. Sanballat was very angry when he learned that we were rebuilding the wall. He flew into a rage and he mocked the Jews. Doesn't that sound familiar? Same old tactics. And here's what he says. By the way, as we look at this and as we read this, ask yourself, how is it that Nehemiah has such explicit and detailed information about what Sanballat says? We'll see it in just a minute. And Sanballat says in front of his friends and the Samaritan army officers, what does this bunch of poor, feeble Jews think they're doing? Do they think they can build the wall in a single day by just offering a few sacrifices? Do they actually think they can make something of stones from a rubbish heap and charred ones at that? This looks like just mockery still and just language, but I want you to see what the enemy is doing. The enemy is mocking and despising the spiritual sacrifice of this as well. Do you see that? Because as they offer sacrifices to the Lord and they work, it is dedicated unto the Lord. And Sanballat is mocking that. And then he says about, can they make something of stones from a rubbish heap and charred ones? And that is true, because the primary building material they had, it was material that had been burned. And those of you that know about building materials and things that have been burned are not particularly strong, perhaps are not particularly reliable. And then next to him, his buddy Tobiah said their stone wall would collapse if even a fox walked along the top of it. They're getting creative, aren't they, in their mockery now. How many times have you been determined to do something for God, to start, to make a difference, and you felt, I can't. All of us have. And we look at these three, we look at these passages here where the mockery comes, and I want us to see that we are in good company this morning. Do you see that? You're in good company this morning. You are not the only one to have started off and to receive opposition. You're not the only one who has been made to feel, what do you think you're doing? You can't overcome in this area. You see, the enemy has made a big mistake here as he speaks through Tobiah, because he says their stone wall would collapse if even a fox walked along it, along the top of it. But he forgets that that wall is not their wall. That wall is God's wall. It was God's plan. And the good work that God has put in your heart, it's not just a little, it's not your work. It's not the thing you're trying to do. And I want you to see that this morning. The things that you've been praying about and establishing yourself in this day, these are the things that God has put in your heart to pray for and to rebuild and to do. And therefore, it's God's work. It's God's wall. And God's wall stands against any fox walking along the top of it. Amen. Amen. So what does Nehemiah do? Now you're going to hear this several more times as we talk this morning. What does Nehemiah do? Because it's a lesson for us. Then I prayed, hear us, our God, for we are being mocked. Now you and I want to fight back at him. And here's a good lesson for us. What does Nehemiah do? He talks to God about that, doesn't he? He talks to God about it. And he says, may their scoffing fall back on their own heads. And he prays a very, very strong prayer. Do you know why this prayer is so strong? And do you know why this is so serious? Look at what he says. For they have provoked you to anger here in front of the builders. The reason Nehemiah knew exactly what they said was because these men and these enemies are in the faces of those who are building. They're right there. They're not saying it behind their backs. They're not saying it in a secret meeting somewhere. They're right there. And they're saying, ah, and they're throwing and they're hurling insults. And Nehemiah does the same thing as he has done in previous times. He prays. He prays. And what happens as he prays? At last, the wall was completed to half its height around the entire city. For the people had worked with enthusiasm. I love that expression, don't you? They'd worked with enthusiasm. And if you've got another translation, here's some other translations for you. They had worked with all their heart, or they had the will to keep working. That is what we need, brothers and sisters. Not just a feeling, not just a sudden spurt of emotion. Yeah, I can do it as we get started, but a will to work and a heart to work. And there's a New Testament verse for us and a New Testament promise for us that I think fits so perfectly here from Philippians 2:13. For it is God who is working in you, enabling you both to will and to act for his good purpose. So, brothers and sisters, as we go into this year, my dear Lighthouse family, as we build walls and set gates again, it is God who is working in us, enabling us both to will and to act for his good purpose. My personal translation is this way. God gives you the want to and the can do. And I've kind of remembered it that way just because it sort of rhymes, or it has a rhyme in it. God gives you the want to and the can do. And you know what? For God's work to be accomplished in our hearts and in our lives, we've got to have both. We can't have one without the other, the want to and the can do. And as you walk with God and as you work with God in his good work, he will give you, he will help you with both of those things, the want to and the can do. Amen. So the progress report, midway progress report, the wall is completely, not completely rebuilt, but completely surrounding the city. But that is not far enough. It's going to have to be rebuilt completely. But here's a good stopping point, because you know why? You and I sometimes go along and we sometimes look ahead and we think, oh, there's still so much to do. But we need to look back at how far we've come, right? We need to see what God has already done in our lives. And the wall is built halfway. Okay, what happens next? Before we even look at the next verse, you tell me what happens next. Do the enemies turn around and run and say, oh, phooey? Nope. Opposition. When Sanballat and Tobiah, and the Arabs, that's Geshem. And look, their enemy list is growing. Ammonites and Ashdodites heard that the work was going ahead and that the gaps in the walls of Jerusalem were being repaired. They were furious. These words get stronger and stronger, right? First time they were upset. That was in Nehemiah 2:10. We didn't even look at that one. They were upset when they heard about the plan. Then they get angry. Then they get very angry, and now they're furious. They're furious. And now what happens? Opposition increases, and they made plans to come and fight against Jerusalem and throw us into confusion. Okay, here's the question again. What does Nehemiah do? But we prayed to our God and guarded the city day and night to protect ourselves. Brothers and sisters, continued opposition must be met by continued prayer. Increased opposition must be met by increased prayer. There's no other way. Here is the lesson from Nehemiah, brothers and sisters. This is how we're going to rebuild the walls. This is how we're going to set the gates. If opposition doesn't slow down, you don't slow down in prayer, and you don't slow down in work. If the opposition doesn't stop, you don't stop. If they don't stop, if they don't slow down, you don't stop. You don't slow down. You increase. You increase. And now look what happens. Then, and here we have put these, we'll put these together very quickly and very, very briefly. In the middle of all of this, then the people of Judah began to complain. The workers are getting tired, and there is so much rubble to be moved. We will never be able to build the wall by ourselves. So here's the first one, okay? So these are the people themselves. So let me go ahead and ask you right now. This is number one. Have you ever gotten into the work, into the rebuilding, into the changing of character of your heart, into praying, and you look ahead and it just seems like there's still so far to go. There's still so far to go, and you begin to get discouraged, right? And you begin to slack off in your prayers, and you begin to think, well, I guess God, maybe sometime. Lord, maybe somebody else will pray. Lord, I'm tired of this. We get to the same place that the people of Judah. It was true. They were getting tired. And you and I sometimes get tired along the way. You see, brothers and sisters, the enemy never fights fair. He will attack you when you're down. He will attack you when you're tired, when you're angry about something, when you've gotten discouraged. You think he's going to say, okay, well, let me back up. They're down for a while. Of course not. He comes in with renewed, as we see, he comes in with a renewed attack. Meanwhile, our enemies were saying, before they know what's happening, we will swoop down on them and kill them and end their work. Do you see? It's increased opposition. It's increased hindrance and increased attack. Now they're talking about killing them. At first, they were just talking about the wall. Now they're talking about taking their lives. So here's the second one. The first one is the people themselves get tired. Secondly, the enemy says, we will do this. Look at the third one. And the Jews who live near the enemy came and told us again and again, they will come from all directions and attack us. Ah, from people that are supposed to be encouraging and from their friends. And we see this. You heard me talk about this. Remember a few months ago when we talked about David, when he went out to fight Goliath, and the children of Israel, the soldiers themselves, and Saul himself, began to repeat the words that Goliath shouted in the valley day after day after day that were lies designed to fear. By the way, look with me. Who is saying that? Where are they living? The Jews who live near the enemy. Listen, where you live, where you spend your time, who you spend your time listening to will influence your life, your spiritual life, and your spiritual well-being. So here we see this three-pronged attack. And boy, is there ever a lesson for us in this? Isn't there a lesson for us in this? And we look at this three-pronged attack, and what does Nehemiah do? So I placed the arm, this time we don't see anything about prayer, but he says, I placed armed guards behind the lowest parts of the walls in the exposed areas. I stationed them. And then look at what happens next. He looks over the situation and he calls them together. And here's such a good encouragement for us. What does he say? He says to them, don't be afraid of the enemy. Remember the Lord who is great and glorious, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes. What is the defense against fear? The Word of God. The Word of God. God's truth. Don't be afraid of the enemy. Remember the Lord who is great and glorious. When you start getting afraid, remember the Lord who is great and glorious. And he reminds them of the Lord. And sometimes you and I need to be reminded of the Lord. If you are struggling in an area, get back into the Word of God with renewed determination and renewed vigor. And then look at what else he does. He says, and fight for your brothers, your sons. What is he doing here? He's doing something that you and I need to do as well when we are in the fight. He reminds them what they are fighting for. And brothers and sisters, sometimes you and I need to be reminded what we're fighting for and the value of what we're fighting for. We are not fighting for temporal and temporary things. We are fighting for eternal gain. When you are praying for someone who is in your family or a loved one or somebody else, God has put them on your heart, and you're tired of praying, and you're discouraged, and you're this and that, remind yourself of the stakes. That person is going to hell. And as you pray, and as you struggle in prayer, and as you fight in prayer, the stakes are eternal salvation for someone. What about your own life? When you get tired of this area of your life and you just think, oh, well, maybe someday God will change me in this area, rather than coming to him with determination and submitting yourself in humility before the Lord and humbling yourself before God and before people if need be. We're talking about the character and the life of Christ in us. Those are eternal stakes. It's worth it to fight for these things. Don't give up in discouragement. Remember what you're fighting for. Remember what you're fighting for. It's worth it. The fight is worth it. The battle is worth it. The struggle is worth it. Amen. 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 And so they keep on. Remember the Lord who's great and glorious, and remember what you're fighting for. And when our enemies heard that we knew of their plans and God had frustrated them, we all returned to our work on the wall. Brothers and sisters, that's your focus and that's your goal. You return to the work. You return to the work. Is there opposition? Yes, there's opposition. But don't keep your eyes ever on the opposition. Return to the work. Don't let things dissuade you. Don't let things sidetrack you. Don't let things discourage you. Don't let entertainment sidetrack you. Don't let even good things sidetrack you. Keep your eyes. Return to the wall and keep building. Return to your work on the wall, because the wall has to be rebuilt. It has to be rebuilt. But then Nehemiah does something different. And this is what we come to in this last picture for this morning of Nehemiah. Then we're going to look just at a few verses. I want you to see what Nehemiah does. He adjusts the tactics at this point because the opposition is growing. Here is this wonderful picture of what we see him doing. And just look at it in verse 16. And what does he do? He divides the people, and some begin to stand watch, and some are committed only to standing watch and guard with weapons, and some are committed only to work. That's one picture. Now, look at the second picture. And this is what I want us to see. The laborers carried on their work with one hand, supporting their load, and one hand holding a weapon. All the builders had a sword belted to their side. Oh, be encouraged by this picture. And this is the picture I want us, if you don't take anything else away this morning, I want you to take this picture away. Because here we see an Old Testament picture, and we have illumination in the New Testament of what this means for us. How are we going to rebuild our walls this year? How are we going to restore the burnt down gates this morning? And as we go into this new year, in the face of all opposition, we are going to have to carry the load and work with one hand, and we're going to have a weapon in the other hand. That is how we're going to progress. That's how we're going to overcome opposition. That's how we're going to make it through. In our own lives personally, in our families' lives, in the church, here's a complete picture of overcoming opposition and fulfilling the plan of God in our lives and whatever he has put in our hearts. Two hands. Here's the picture of when we think about this, okay? So work and weapons. That was the title we said this morning, right? So work and weapons. Work and weapons. Work in one hand, weapons in the other hand. It's a complete picture. Our weapons must match our enemy if we are to overcome and build and to advance. Amen. Amen. So we look at this. The weapons we fight with are not of the flesh, the weapons of the world. What are these weapons like this year as we go ahead, as we move forward? We're going to look at about three or four verses coming to a close right now. This is what I want us to see. This is what we must hold on to this morning. This is what we must grab onto this morning. If you're going to do what God has called you to do, work with one hand. Weapon with the other. What is the weapon? The weapon must match the enemy if we are to overcome and build and advance. And the weapons we fight with are not of the flesh, the weapons of the world, but divinely powerful for the demolishing of strongholds. You see, the weapons that we are given, weapons we fight with come from the Lord. They are spiritual weapons. They are spiritual weapons from the Lord. And here's what we say. Look at Romans 15:30. Paul says, I urge you by our Lord Jesus Christ, by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf. That word strive there has the meaning of struggle and fight. And if from it, I think that's the word where we get the word agony. That's what it is. And what is Paul talking about? He's writing in Romans, strive together with me. In what way? In prayer. What is our mightiest weapon this year as we go forward? Prayer is our mightiest weapon. It is our mightiest weapon. And then look, Colossians 2. He says, I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea and for all those who've not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged. A similar word again. How great a struggle. How can Paul write this? How can Paul write this in Colossians? He's far from them. He's not met them. He's in prison. How can he be struggling for them? He's struggling in prayer. He's struggling in prayer. And these are our weapons. Are there other weapons? Yes, of course, there are other weapons. There is the shield of faith. There's the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. All of that is in Ephesians 6. But the greatest, the mightiest weapon we have to fight against and to rebuild will come in prayer. And then he said, Colossians 4, Epaphras, another one, not even Paul, but just another one who's with you. He's always contending, struggling, wrestling for you in his prayers so that you can stand mature. So even these inner works, not the outer works, even these inner works, it's through prayer. It's through prayer. And finally, Ephesians, the passage from Ephesians, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, not in ourselves, not in ourselves. If you have failed and if you have fallen and if you yet fail and if you yet fall, come back to the Lord humbly and just say, Lord, I was depending on myself. You see, anytime we fail, it's not because of the Lord, is it? Because his power never fails, right? It's when we've depended on ourselves. It's when we've fallen short. But our gracious God says, come back to me. Depend on me. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand. And we know all the different parts of the armor. But he concludes the part by saying, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests, and stay alert in this. Brothers and sisters, I hope you're not discouraged this morning. I hope you're encouraged. I know we talked about some enemies this morning, but I want you to be encouraged. I want you to be encouraged because the rebuilding of the wall is good work. It's God's work. He has put it in our hearts. He gives us the want to. And as you go forward, he gives you the will do, the can do. This is what he does. So what must you and I do? And if you want to, you can just look at both your hands and just see what Nehemiah, it's such a good picture for us. Just see with both your hands, Lord, I'm going to work. Can't stop working. That's how the wall has to be rebuilt. But for the work to be done, warfare has to take place. And here's the weapon. And the primary weapon is prayer. And Lord, here we are this morning. Here we are. God, we your people, we stand as Nehemiah did with the workers. And we will work and we take up weapons and we keep them with us. We keep them at the ready in our hands and belted to our sides. Oh Lord, we commit again this morning and we determine again this morning that we will go after you, that we will rebuild, that we will do the work that you've called, the things that you've put in our hearts. God, we're going to keep on and we're going to go forward in you. We're going to do what you have said to do, your plan, your purpose in our lives, in our families, in our friends, in our work environment, in our study environment. God, establish your kingdom and may the kingdom of the enemy be pushed back. Take your ground, O God, through your people. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In the wonderful and mighty name of Jesus, who overcame and conquered on our behalf, we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you, Lighthouse. We're so glad you joined us today. And in the weeks ahead, we're going to be talking with you about how we can incorporate more times of fasting and prayer as we go through this year. We're in it together. We're in it together, and God will see us through. God bless you, and we have a great week in the Lord. Amen.